Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager, and this is my home, as any of you know if you've watched any of my fireside chats. My fire, my dog, Otto, who many of you ask for when you meet me, and I want you to know both Otto and I are touched. And this is completely non-scripted, even though I have a couple of notes, which I rarely do, but there are statistics. My brain's ability to memorize statistics is zero. A drop above zero. I remember concepts really well, but not names and statistics. Everybody's given gifts. I ought to talk about that once. You know that? It's a very important thing to know. We're all given gifts, and we're all given not... What's the opposite of a gift? Flaws. We're all given gifts. Nobody talks about that. Oh, you've been given quite a number of gifts. And some flaws as well. But it's true. We all do. And you need to know both equally well. If you only know your flaws, you won't get ahead. You won't be a productive citizen. And if you only know your flaws, if you only know your gifts also, because it's like saying, I know that my car has a fantastic engine, but I didn't know its brakes aren't working. That's not good. You can't go on just a good engine. Anyway, I don't want to give you that talk because we're going to do that another time. So, a very serious topic, as it turns out. And that is, it's on my mind because it just happened again. Another shooting, a mass shooting in the United States. Of course, we have vast numbers of people shot to death without mass shootings. Just one by one by one by one. It's a horrible, horrible fact of American life. Bothers me a tremendous amount, life being precious as it is, human life in particular. So the question that I think people do ask and should ask is, why are there so many mass shootings? Mass shootings, I think there's a definition actually, where it's four or more people on by one person within a 24-hour period. I think that's how it works. Something like that. I mean, you certainly get the gist. And also, we're not talking about, let's say, if it's done within a family, let's say, or a gang. We're not talking about gang shooting. We're not talking about intra-family violence, all of which are horrible. We're just talking about random shooting of innocents, of strangers, as it were, that takes place. And it happens a lot because when I prepared my column on this subject, I write a column, it comes out every Tuesday, and I realized I could name three mass shootings of the last year, and people wouldn't remember them. That shows you how many there are. If I say 9/11, it stands out. As, you know, when Islamist terrorists attacked the United States and 3,000 Americans were killed. But I'll bet you the great majority of people could not name, totally understandably, could not name the school in Connecticut where about 20 children between 6 and 7 of years of age were killed and some teachers. That's how many we have. So this is a very big problem. And people always ask, why? So the left, which dominates colleges and high schools and elementary schools and newspapers and news media and news on TV and the arts and Hollywood, all have one answer: guns. To the extent that the president, former President Obama, was just in Brazil, and he said, which is a little scary, we have the recording. I mean, he said to a Brazilian audience, our gun laws in the United States don't make much sense. Anybody can buy any weapon anytime without much of any regulation. None of that is true. It's very sad that he said those things. And then he said, they can buy guns over the internet. They can buy machine guns. But that's not true either. But anyway, aside from the truthfulness or lack of it, he was talking about the murders of those kids in that school in Connecticut, and then spoke about gun laws. Another time I'm going to talk to you about guns, gun laws, and what to do about guns. But one thing I am certain of is guns is not the reason for this number of mass shootings that take place. If people stabbed, we wouldn't say knives were the issue. Let us say there was mass stabbings taking place or bombings. Would we say the problem is that bombs are available? I don't deny, obviously, if no one could get any gun, you couldn't kill with a gun. I fully recognize that. But there are so many millions of guns out there, hundreds of millions, that unless you had a giant magnet come from outer space, you can't get rid of them. So we have to figure out what to do. The question, therefore, is not guns, or the answer is not guns. The answer has to be, what has changed? Guns were always available in America, but we didn't always have this number of shootings. Let me give you data. And this is from a criminologist. This is not it's not liberal or conservative. This is from a professor of criminology, Grant Duwe, D-U-W-E. He's at the Minnesota Department of Corrections. Gathered data going back 100 years. So listen to this. In the 20th century, every decade before the 1970s had fewer than 10 mass public shootings. In the 1950s, guess how many? One. The entire decade of the 50s, there was one. So you have to say, wow, only one in the 50s, something must have changed. And it isn't the availability of guns. So something had to change other than availability of guns. It doesn't matter if you're left or right. If you just have to think rationally, something had to change if the guns didn't change. What was the next date? The next decade? In the 60s, there were six mass shootings, six times as many as the 50s. In the 70s, 13. 13 times as many as in the 50s. More than double in the 60s. In the 1980s, the number increased 2.5 times from the 70s to 32 mass shootings in the 1980s. And in the 1990s, it went to 42. From 1 to 42 from the 50s to the 90s. You're going to tell me it's the availability of guns? If you say that, it means you're prepared to lie to yourself. And that's not a good trait. Okay? I may not have the answer. You may not have the answer. But it's clearly not availability of guns. Something or some things else must have changed. And as regards the 2000s, the New York Times reported in 2014, quote, the FBI report, quote, mass shootings have risen drastically in the past half dozen years. That's between 2008 and 2014. So it just keeps going up and up and up and up. Why? Well, let's figure out what changed in the 60s and 70s. Well, I was a kid. But I could tell you, you don't have to have lived through it. Listen, let me tell you something. It's very important. That's why we study history. If you have to live through anything in order to understand it, then nobody will ever understand anything that ever happened. There are a lot of things you can understand if you didn't live through. I didn't live through World War II. I understand World War II. You have to. It's our obligation. That's why I think we're really morally obligated to study history. But in any event, what changed? So I can tell you one obvious change. America became far, far less religious. Now, you may not want to hear this. There's a guy, I was reading an article, he had his website. He's a very intelligent guy. He's an atheist. He says, I'm an atheist. But there's no doubt in my mind that the demise of Christianity in the United States is a factor in these shootings. Because it gives you two things, a church, and same thing with Judaism, obviously, but Christianity is a dominant religion, so I'll talk about Christianity. An essentially Christian population, which is what America was throughout its history, had two things going for it. One is a biblical, that is a divine, what they believe, what I believe, is a divine code of behavior. So if you raise a whole generation after generation after generation to believe God himself, the creator of the universe, said, do not murder, that's not insignificant. It is significant. Does it work perfectly? Nothing works perfectly. Human nature is so awful that even with God, it doesn't always work. I fully grant it, but you have a better chance of raising a person who won't do certain things if they think God says don't do it. That's just common sense. This is all just common sense. The other thing Christianity, religion, gives people, aside from a moral code stemming from God, is community. All of these murderers have no community. Every single one. Not only no community, in 99% of the cases I recall, they were described as loners. Religious people are not loners. Actively religious people are actively religious with others. They go to Bible classes. They go to events together. They go to lectures together. And of course, they pray together. That's true for Jews, true for Christians, true for any religion. This is all gone. It's not disappeared, obviously, but it's going, gone. Nones, N-O-N-E-S, are among the biggest communities now in the United States. I mean, there are more nones than there are Presbyterians or Methodists or whatever it was. It's an incredible number, and mostly young people. You've been deprived of one of the keys to a happy and meaningful life. You've been deprived of a lot if you're a young person in this country. The left is, forgive me, screwed around with you. And they don't stop. Now they're telling you you're not really a man or a woman. You just decide, because they're not real terms. I mean, it's endless. I talked about that another time. I'll talk about it again. There's a terrible loss. Even if you're an atheist, like this guy who wrote this thing that I was just quoting. He says, I'm an atheist, but I understand that this is a tragedy, the demise of Christianity. I'm a Jew, and I understand how tragic the demise of Christianity is, okay? It's a good example. I have asked, ever since this started, I've been broadcasting 35 years, so I've been broadcasting through the heyday of shootings. I've always asked the question. In fact, I make an assertion. Here's my assertion. If the percentage of people in prison for murder equals the percent, if that percentage in prison contains the same percentage of churchgoers as exists in the society, then I'm wrong. In other words, I'm giving you a way to refute my argument. In other words, 50% of Americans attend church or synagogue regularly, approximately. If 50% of the murderers attended church or synagogue regularly, then I'm wrong. I have given you a way to scientifically refute what I've said. If you make an assertion, you have to offer what would refute it. I just gave it to you. But what if, let's just say, 5%, 95% of murderers were not churchgoers? Why wouldn't that make an impression upon you? So this is one huge change. Another huge change, virtually every murderer, and certainly mass murderer, is not only a male, is a single male. Married men don't say, honey, I'll see you afterwards. I got to murder a couple of dozen people. I'll be right back. It doesn't happen. On occasion, on rare occasion, the person was married. It's very, very rare. And I don't know of any of the mass killers who were. I'm sure some were, but it's exceedingly rare. But it's another terrible change since the 60s. The number of people marrying is diminishing. That's a tragedy for the society. I think it's a tragedy for the individual, but it's definitely a societal tragedy. See, we live in, ironically, leftism and narcissism are profoundly related. One of the reasons you get married is it's good for society. But nobody thinks that way anymore. Not only because you fell in love. A lot of people are in love and they won't get married. You get married for society's sake, just as much as you do for your own. People generally get better when they get married. Ask married people. Are you a better person having married? Ask them. All of you know married people. Not are you happier. There are unhappy marriages. I fully acknowledge that. I know about it personally. But better, more mature, there is nobody who says, yeah, I got less mature because I got married. Even if it was an unhappy marriage. If anything will mature you fast, it's an unhappy marriage, ironically. Probably mature you faster than a happy marriage. So that's factor number two. The decline in religion, the decline in marriage. These are huge things. Then there's the number three, boys, because again, almost all our mass shooters are male. Boys don't have, excuse me, don't have male models like they used to. First of all, this is the largest number in American history of boys growing up without a father in their life. I'm not talking about parents who were divorced and the father was still in their life. Divorce doesn't mean your father's not in your life. Either he abandoned you, which is usually not the case, or the mother kicked him out because she's angry at the divorce. That's very common and very, very terrible. But there are, or of course, large swaths of the of American communal life or American community, American society, the women didn't marry the father of their child to begin with, so he's not around at all. A boy without a father, listen to Barack Obama, okay? I want to give you a liberal source. It's what Barack Obama said in 2008 when he was a U.S. senator running for president. Children who grow up without a father are 5 times more likely to live in poverty and commit crime. 5 times. 9 times more likely to drop out of school. 20 times more likely to end up in prison. A boy without a father in his life. Boys need men. If your father died or your father was a misfit or your mother kicked him out, I mean, this is a tragedy, obviously. An uncle can play a role, a priest, a minister, a rabbi can play such a role, maybe a male teacher, but you need somebody. That's ideally the father. And boys not only don't have a vast number, tens of millions of boys don't have fathers in their lives, they don't even have an adult man in their life. They go to school and all their teachers are female. So there's no male role model for them. Boys don't know how to be men if there's no man to show them how to be a man. They can't. It's not figure outable on your own. We boys are taught this by older men. That is the way it works. I get calls very often from men close to my age even, who will say, you know, you're a father figure to me. And I go, thank you. It's the most beautiful thing you could say to me. And as I always add, every man should try to be the father figure to younger men. That's your job. That is my job. Not as a public figure. It's my job in daily life. Most people are not public figures. Your job as a man is to be a role model, not perfect. There's no such thing as perfect people, but to be a role model for boys and younger men that they don't have. These are far more important than the availability of guns, which, as I said, hasn't changed. All these things, these are the variables. This is what has changed. That's why they're single men, they're not married. That's why I wonder how many were raised with a father in their lives. And I wonder how many of them are loners, have no community, they have no religion. That doesn't matter. And finally, As important as all of these are, here's one equal. The last 50 years have been the age of grievance in America. The left has taught people the following. If you're unhappy and you are anything but a white Christian heterosexual male, it's because America has persecuted you. You're a woman, the patriarchy and misogyny and sexism. That's why you're unhappy. Black, you're not unhappy because life is difficult for everybody. You're unhappy because whites are racist. Hispanics, you're not unhappy because life's tough. No, you're unhappy because Americans are xenophobic. Get it? Everybody's got a grievance. Everybody. And you know what grievances do? Grievances dull the conscience. That's what they do. Because you get so angry at others, you think that you can hurt others because you've been hurt. That's what's happened. So these are the reasons to me. Lack of religion, lack of fathers, lack of community, and grievance. Everybody who shoots up a lot of people is filled with anger, filled with grievances. Well, why weren't they in the 50s? Think people didn't have a hard life in the 50s? People had a hard life in the 50s, but we didn't have the leftist grievance culture that we have today. In fact, I think it was Thoreau said a long time ago, Wilder, one of the two, said most men lead lives of quiet desperation, meaning that everybody has had unhappiness in history, but they were quiet. They didn't take it out on others. Not anymore. They're not quiet. I'm angry because I have been screwed up by this sexist, misogynist, intolerant, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, misogynist society. Well, I'm going to take it out on people. That's what people do. People who think they're victims take it out on others. The victim mentality is one of the biggest sources of human evil that exists. These are far more telling than availability of guns, which hasn't changed. That stuff has changed. Okay, time for your questions. How much time was that?
23.
Okay, not too much time for questions, but that was important. That was super duper important. All right, here we go. Dan, 54, Flowerbound, Texas. Dennis, if the government should provide nothing for free, then what should be done about public schools? I never said the government should provide. Just for the record, I'm not saying you said I did, but I think that's the implication. I never said the government should not supply anything. I mean, it supplies the armed forces. I mean, we do pay through taxes, but I know that's not what you meant. You mean giving us? Yes, we get fire department, we get police department. America was not founded with public schools. It was founded with private schools. People would teach their own children or they would hire somebody to teach their child. We founded the public schools in order to Americanize immigrant children. Public schools do the opposite today. They balkanize Americans. They separate them by their background. It is the opposite of Americanized. They have lost their purpose. It would be a better America if we ended this. I'm sorry to say. And people would save a fortune of money. Give them vouchers. Let them choose where they want to send their child. That's what we should do. But the teachers' unions run the Democratic Party, and they don't care about students. They care about teachers. Tragically, it has made many teachers selfish and leftist, which has been a tragedy. Right? But I've given up. You can't reform it. people will have to homeschool their kids or get vouchers, form other schools, private schools, and that will be the end. Same with colleges. You know, they say all the time that separation of church and state has been good for the church. It's a very common argument, and there's truth to it. Because in America, religion cannot be supported by the government doesn't give churches money, right? Doesn't pay for your pastor or your priest, like in many European countries they do. And we have stronger religion, they said. It was good for religion that the government got out of the religion business. So if it's good for religion, if the government is out of the religion business, why isn't it good for education if the government is out of the education business? Nobody's ever given me an answer to that. You know why? Because they never asked the question. Levi, 17, United Kingdom, Nottingham. Dear Dennis, my grandparents and other extended family members were victims of the Holocaust. I want to get a tattoo of a Star of David saying, never again. Are you fond of this idea? I'm fond of the fact that you want to do it more than I am of the idea. So one reason is you're obviously Jewish, and Judaism, I'm sure you're not Orthodox, but still you should know that the Torah forbids tattoos. And if that matters to you, then I don't really have to add much more. So you should know that even the most well-meaning tattoo, and this is a truly well-meaning tattoo, and believe me, I wouldn't hold it against you or judge you adversely if you did that. But it's a tattoo. There are so many ways of conveying messages. But it is a powerful one. I can't deny that. I wouldn't do it for the reason that I told you, but I can't make it. I mean, I assume it would be small and not conspicuous necessarily, maybe not on your arm, and you could wear a long sleeve shirt to do a business interview. But anyway, I commend you for even asking. How we doing?
27.
Now, is this person's name Bronx? Nice. I know there are people named Brooklyn, but I never knew another of the five boroughs of New York were named Bronx. Okay, 17 years old in Azusa, California. Hi, Dennis. I've always wondered why recently so many people have come out saying they're gay. I'm not that old. That's true. But I'm wondering if people have always been like that and just did not say anything, or if it is a recent thing. If so, why all of a sudden? Thank you for all you do. Well, thank you. I think the percentage of people who are homosexual, in other words, have no desire for the opposite sex. I'm not talking bisexual. This is a very complex question. This deserves, and I will give it a whole talk here one day. But the number of people who from the beginning of their sexual awakening have no desire for the opposite sex is approximately 3%. It seems to be fairly static. It was true before, and it is true today. What we have today is a lot of people are just simply totally free to express that they're gay. And by the way, I don't deny for one second gays were persecuted in the past, and it is a tragedy. And truth is truth, and that must be stated. And there's no justification for it. But I think we have today, it's in, it's cool to be gay, to be bi, to be questioning, to be pansexual, to be transgendered. It's almost like that's it. You're just a cisgendered female or male. You're just straight. Oh, man, is that... You are Dullsville. That's what I think is sort of the impression. A lot of people think today, a lot of young people in particular, I have problems. Maybe they emanate from my sexuality. So I'll try something else. I also think that... I have a drink here, yeah. I am certain I've done a lot of work on this. I think that a lot of people are influenceable by society. I don't think society can make you a homosexual, but I think society can increase a bisexual nature. I think, for example, women are far more malleable in this way. I think that women are not as hardwired in the way men are in their sexual nature. And a lot of women could bond with a woman. They want to be with a man. Most women are heterosexual and want to be with a man. But under certain circumstances, societal circumstances, they can easily find themselves attracted to and loving a woman. So that's where society comes in, and I think society should foster the heterosexual ideal without hurting a gay. But I believe that there is an ideal. I think male-female bonding is the ideal. I'll talk about that another time. But yes, that is my belief system. It has no hate in it. I think monogamy is the ideal. I don't hate people who bond with two people. But I do believe that society has ideals. I learned this from a very simple lesson. Ancient Greece is known for vast amounts of homosexual behavior on the part of men. A man who could afford it, in effect, bought, not as a slave, but paid for an adolescent boy, a 15, 18-year-old boy. That was there. Now, I can't relate to that. I think I'm straight. But I don't deny that if I lived in Greece, I might have behaved just as they did. Society has a huge impact on the way people express their sexuality. In ancient Greece, as a general rule, women were for baby making and boys were for love making. The Bible came along and said women are for love making, not just baby making. That was the radical. I'll explain that when that volume of my Bible commentary comes out, the Rational Bible. The book is called Leviticus. That's where we get these. This is a very huge thing. So what's happened now is society has so said it's great to be gay or pan or just not one thing. And a lot of people find that tempting. So society does have an impact on what has happened, to answer your question. We don't have time for more questions, obviously. By the way, do I have a copy of my Rational Bible here? I just wanted to show it. And folks, I explain life best in my Rational Bible. The latest is Genesis. So here it is, Rod, if you have is it clear? Am I holding it evenly?
Yes.
Folks, this is meant to change your life for the better. Nobody writes Bible commentaries to become millionaires, I promise you. In case you were thinking that this is just, buy my book. No, touch your life. That's the reason I'm writing this. I'm in the third volume, but the second just came out, The Rational Bible. So, I guess that's it for this week. Otto did snore, and it is amazing. You know, he's not even in the room till I show up to do this. I think, you see, when my two cohorts come here from PragerU, he immediately knows, I should go on to the set. That's what I think happens. By the way, talking about PragerU, we've got the Candace Owens show. She's a gift to humanity, in my opinion, and incredibly interesting. And we have Will Witt going around the country asking people questions and giving his thoughts. So we have a lot going on at PragerU in addition to the videos every week and, of course, my Fireside Chat. I want to remind you the Fireside Chats are not dated in almost any instance. If you want to watch one from 2 years ago, you will benefit as much as hopefully you did from today. With that, thank you for watching, and I'll see you next week. Thank you for watching. If you'd like to keep these Fireside Chats free, please do by donating to PragerU.